Ephesians chapter 5. The scripture says in verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Also in Colossians chapter 3, as the brother writes to the church at Colossae, he says in chapter 3, verse number 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I just want to bring one message here this afternoon about rock and roll music. Rock and roll music. The origins of rock and roll music is well documented. And we're not left to guess about its origins and how it came about. It stemmed from the rhythm and blues, jazz and folk genres. There's some other genres that they say had input into it. In the rock and roll music industry and those things related, you find the accounts of many, many people that learned how to sing in church and learned how to be able to use their voices in a right, good way, just all things being equal, about, we just say, religious service. But then by the temptation of the flesh and temptation of the bounty of life that could come to them and fame, infamy, they use those talents in a very sinful and wicked way. The very term itself has a sexual and illicit connotation. It was a developing genre that was played at clubs and other places associated with fornication, salaciousness, and prostitution. That was its origins. That's what it came out of. With an accentuated backbeat and the early use of the saxophone and the latter advent and use of the electric guitar, the rock and roll genre, in my opinion, became the universal mother of all other genres conceived since. You think about that. Because at this point in time, there is all kinds of different genre and supposed music that has stemmed from rock and roll. Quote unquote rock and roll. Because why? It was a departure from what music was created to be, in my opinion, in this man's opinion, and now it's just cut loose with the willfulness and waywardness of man. Rock and roll. Again, the very term itself has these illicit connotations. It's become the universal mother of all other genres since conceived. Understand, there's nothing evil about a snare drum. There's not anything evil about a snare drum. Snare drum can be used very well for good music. Nothing wrong or evil about a saxophone. Nothing evil or wrong with an electric guitar. They can all be used in a very good and pleasant, God-honoring, God-glorifying way. The resulting good or evil of these instruments, the resulting good or evil, or obedience, or good or evil, or obedience, or sin is in the heart and mind and hand of one who plays them. It's kind of like guns. Guns aren't killing people. The people pulling triggers are killing people. So it is with these instruments. They're not evil in and of themselves, but their use by the person and what's in their heart is what generates something evil or not. Rock and roll is to music what the Catholic Church is to Protestantism or any other Jesus-claiming cult. Think about that. It's become the widespread umbrella of everything that's come about since. I think that with pondering it and considering it and researching it, it is the case. Catholicism has come. Universalism hails back even into Babylon. And the Lord says it so, and everything that is not the Lord that claims religion or Jesus is up under that umbrella. Now I'm talking about claiming Jesus but denying the power thereof. There are those that understand about the gospel and are saved. But then there's those things, those doctrines, those different groups that have a doctrine that defies Christ just right from the get-go. And His divinity and His Godhead and the purpose of God. So it is with rock and roll and its far-reaching influence into all things music. We must know and remember that music is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing amongst mankind because of its influences physically, emotionally, and spiritually. When the Lord began to convict me as a young man about the need of my soul, and I was raised up in a Christian home. I was raised up where the gospel was told and promoted, and that alone was needed for the salvation of the soul. But as I began to go on my own, and I began to listen to music, indeed, that my folks had warned me about and would not approve of, it had a great impact on my life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So if you find me vehement about it, that's the right. Why? Because the Lord saved me from that. And I don't want anybody else to go down that road. So, a few passages. In John chapter 16, thinking about this, of this worldly music of rock and roll. In John 16, we pick it up in verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, Jesus says, it is expedient for you, to His church, His first church there, that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He, the Spirit, the Comforter, is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and you see Me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. That's what the Lord has promised that the Comforter's work of the Spirit in His churches would be doing. And as I've stated several times, He's not doing it by His own voice, but He's to be doing it through you and me. You and me, members of Olmsted Baptist Church. What do you think the world would think? What do you think the children that are in our church would think? What do you think the community would think? We come in and sing the songs of the Lord so well, and then they hear us through the week, singing, owning, and promoting the wicked songs of the world. What do you think the children think about that? Our representation of the Lord becomes a hollow thing to them. It doesn't mean anything. Kids see right through it. Well, they reprove me of this or that. Well, I know what they do. I know what they listen to. I know what they promote. And we take the very thing that we know is the salvation of even their own souls, and we take it and we strike it down by our own actions. And we avoid holiness and righteousness for what we want in the flesh. Because we like the beat. We like the story that's in the song. We can relate to the story in the song. We can return vicariously to our youth. I know of one wicked song right now that is just that way. And when I hear it in the store, I hear it when I'm out, it just brings back so much junk to me, and it takes me a week or two to get over it. You might say, well, Brother Jim, you're just a mess, aren't you? Well, I know about me and how it is with me. I don't know exactly how it is with you. Maybe you're tougher spiritually and mentally than I am, but I kind of got to think that maybe there's some out there that aren't.
Sin. Reproving of sin. Do you want somebody that you witness to about Christ and their need of Christ to believe you? Well, you and I better live like we believe it. In Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5. Brother Stephen in his Sunday school lessons, he mentioned about this. You know, it's a serious, serious business. From our standpoint and our side of this is souls in the balance. I mean, it's just really that way. And our responsibility, what we have to gain, our children's souls are in the balance. And we need to be faithful in what the Lord has called us to do and not presume upon the Lord. We look to our Lord for His power and His moving. But we need to do what He's called us to do. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." But fornication, like was in that song, fornication, like so many rock and roll singers and producers and band members pursue as a matter and course of their life, they sing about it, they think about it, they engage in it, and you know what? They have pleasure in those that do the same. And they make money at it. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you. It says what it says, brothers and sisters. Not once. I'm sorry it is in the past for me. And may the Lord help me, and I strive that it not be named so going forward in the future. As becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Brother Jim, but it's got just got an uplifting beat. It helps me do my exercise better. You know, that's the sinisterness of it. Probably, if we played that particular song, probably on just one listening to it, you wouldn't be able to understand half of the words. But you know what? It's promoting the message. And you know what? Young people can pick out the words. They've just got a knack for it. We don't need to have anything to do with it.
We don't need to have anything to do with it at all. What's it say here? No whoremonger, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Why would we have to do with those things that promote those kind of things? Let no man deceive you with empty, vain words.
That's what it is. The vanity of wicked men singing their song. Do away with it. I'll tell you what. I took all that junk that I had, so being so convicted by the Lord, I took that stuff and busted it up in a pile out in the parking lot of where I lived that day. When the Lord so squeezed me about that, I got rid of that junk right there. Some of the fellows that I went to college with said, "What are you doing? You could have given it to me." I said, "That would have been no better than keeping it myself." I don't tell you that to pump me up. I'm telling you that it's what the Lord expects. Get that junk out of your life. You've been saved from that. Don't promote it. Don't own it. Don't have anything to do with it. Don't let any man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Don't be a partaker with them. Because that's what we do when we entertain their music. We listen to it. We promote it. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship. It doesn't say a limited amount. It doesn't say reduced or cut in half by measure as you go through time. but have no fellowship with it. When we go out to the store, there's not a thing we can do about what's being played. I tell you what, we have every bit of control over what's in our car. We got every bit of control over what we work. We got every bit of control over what we buy.
And the Lord's watching. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. That's what we're called to do, say, that's wicked and evil and wrong. And to tell our children so. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And that's where this song hits that nail right on the head. It takes a thing of a young man dealing with coming of age and growing up, and it takes them to exploit them rather than steering them to the right way and what the Lord would have them to be, and to be helped by their parents and told what's right. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we pick it up in verse number 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Get it together in our thinking. What we put in there. Flushing out the refuse and the dirt with the good word of God. And be sober and hope for the end, for the grace that is to be brought upon you at the revelation of Jesus Christ that is coming. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust or desires in your ignorance. When you didn't know better, but now that you know better, do better. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. How could it ever be a holy thing for us to promote such filth as that? How could that be holy? Could that be holy? Be holy to listen to that, to willfully listen or own such a thing as that? Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. So be holy in all manner of conversation. What we do, what we think, what we say, because it is written, and the Lord's quoted, be holy for I am holy. In 1 John chapter 2, here's a thing that we have. Again, the old man, the flesh is not saved. The flesh is not saved, this body is not saved, the mind is not saved. That's the reason we need the Word of God put in us, and we need to be compelled and convicted into obedience of what God has given to us, and strap down the old man in these affections and desires of the flesh and our former life, the life we had before we were saved, and those wicked things that we were partakers in. He says here plainly in verse 15 of 1 John 2, love not the world. Man, we really listened to some really wild and good music when I was a kid. I just can't give it up. Tell that to the Lord in your prayer. The music that speaks against Him. The artists that speak against Him. The songs of fools. Right? The fool has said in his heart, no God. No God at all. No God influence in my life. No need of God on my part. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, I described to you the jacket on this particular album. It's sin, it's sinful and wicked and debasing to women. But you know what? It caters right to the lust of the eyes. The desires of the flesh. It does. They know the route that they're taking. They know the route that they're going. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. Child of God, remember that. The world's going to pass away.
There'll be no rock and roll song being sung in the millennial reign. There'll be no wickedness against God promoted or supported in that eternal kingdom. Won't be. I'll tell you what, get started now. Get started now. Get started now. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And Lord, help us that we would do so. In Romans chapter 6, where we took a look at last Sunday morning, I'd like us to be reminded of a few verses here. And it just rings home based on our study of service unto our Lord relative to this kind of thing. Here in chapter 6 of Romans, verse number 10, "For he in that he died, Jesus, he died to sin once." That's what our salvation cost, is his death, his blood, his body. "But in that he liveth unto God. And indeed, that's what he does, and that's our example. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." You know, I'm not naive enough to think that each one of us don't have different problems. There's no doubt something that tempts you, that is a great trouble to you, that maybe I would have no trouble with, and something that just will get me about every time, but you don't have a bit of problem with it. It's that way in this life amongst people. We have our vulnerabilities. We have our weakness. We have that the escape that we're looking for from our past before the Lord saved us, and the junk that we put in our lives. Or even as a child of God and backsliding, and things that we might have got involved with then that it's hard to shake. But the Lord can help us. The Lord's promised He will help us. And we need to look to Him for that. He said, "Don't let sin therefore reign in your mortal body, verse 12, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God," including your ears. Amen? Including your ears, our ears, my ears, and our minds. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." The great graciousness of the Lord, let us not be trampling that. Amen? Let us not be trampling that. Rock and roll music. The Scripture talks about not being ignorant of Satan's devices. Not to be ignorant also. We don't need to be ignorant also. I think it's certainly implied. And Proverbs speaks to us about that, about the snare and the trap laid by evil men. And the origins, closer to the origins of rock and roll music, you actually had those that came up in the folk song side of it. You know, if a folk song is clean and not vile in any way, or dishonoring to the Lord and taking His name in vain, or cursing, or that. I mean, folk songs are folk songs, aren't they? But beware. You might have an artist that came up writing and singing folk songs and then departed over into some junk, pop music or whatever, that was just no good. And I understand about that. Rock and roll music, has that helped society? Isn't it indeed part of the rot that's rottening our culture? It's part of it. Yeah, it sure is. Because you know what? And we know, we believe we know some about what's going on, but I think all there's an aspect of it is that we don't know exactly what's going on. And there's we do, and then we don't entirely. But how, just one part of life here, how have we arrived at a generation, how have we arrived at a generation that in a great part just does not want to turn a tap to work? How's that happen? You know, I remember my generation, we were excited about coming of age and getting to work, making some money so you could get some stuff, right? Now, they get of age and they kind of like not getting excited. They're getting excited about trying to figure out who's going to give them something. Right? True? Is it true? How did that happen? Well, I'll tell you what, an element of it is the music that's pervaded our society and the message that's been subtly sent. The devices of Satan and the policies of men going away from the way of the Lord has brought us down, brought us down, brought us down. May the Lord help us. May our Lord help us. May we petition our Lord for wisdom, taking His word and applying it to our lives. And may we look at and evaluate every move we make in our lives. Is it honoring and obedient to the Lord? Or is it dishonoring? May the Lord give us help in those things.